Monday Night Travel. An interesting experience in the Christmas holidays. I had a week and a half in the South Island of New Zealand. It was a great experience and an unexpected experience. It's one of those things where about 20 or 30 years ago, my parents visited New Zealand and came back with glowing stories. And I thought, well, if they loved it, I probably won't. But I've gone over there with a new set of eyes. The 100% Pure campaign has enticed a lot of Australians to visit New Zealand. And one of them who's been there recently is Rod Imey. He is a freelance travel writer and a photographer who contributes to magazines, newspapers and websites around the country and has recently spent a fair bit of time on the North Island. So I guess together we can picture it together. Rod, good evening.
Good evening, Tony. Great to be back.
Mate, the situation was a lot of Australians think of New Zealand as the package bus tour. And now it's very much an individual destination. There's a lot of interesting and upmarket lodges.
I think you're right there, Tony. The people of New Zealand and the tourism authorities in New Zealand need to be congratulated. They've done a wonderful job in the last few years. That campaign that you just mentioned being a typical example of that. I think we remember, you know, 10, 20 years ago when the bus tours and so forth were going on. They were good in their time, but We've moved beyond that. We've moved past that, and an area of luxury travel that New Zealand seems to embrace is the lodges. They're ultra high end luxury lodges. There's a plethora, if I can use that word, spreading up around the country, both North and South Islands, and coupled with their blockbuster scenery. I mean, you feel like you're in a movie set half the time.
I've got to say, Lord of the Rings was the best marketing job New Zealand's ever had, I think. Some of the most spectacular scenery in that movie, and I think a lot of people would be going there for that reason alone.
Well, it's not an exaggeration. I mean, you go there and you see it, and it's there in your face, so you don't actually have to particularly go very far. You've only got to often just open the curtains and look out the window, and there it is.
One thing that has certainly improved is the food. Very high standard, even in your average cafe and restaurant.
Well, you know yourself, Tony, that the word luxury is one of those evasive terms. It can't become commonplace. It can't be familiar. It always has to be intangible and aspirational. And luxury, in terms of the lodges that they've used and in terms of the food that's served and presented in these lodges, really does push that luxury envelope.
Very good quality food. You know, we've known about the quality of New Zealand beef, New Zealand lamb, and the veggies that they produce. So that's not a great surprise, but they're doing it a lot more creatively.
There's no surprise at all. The livestock, the beef, the meat is another one. You've only got a... And the dairy foods, the cheeses, and of course they picked up the wine and run with the wine so brilliantly, and particularly on the North Island in the Marlborough areas, just north of Wellington. The Pinot Noirs, they've made that their own. It's a trademark now for New Zealand. And coupled with expert chefs, absolutely world standard chefs, producing some of the most mouth-watering and stunning meals you can imagine. And with those wines, it's... Well, you just don't get any better, I don't think.
You have visited three or four of the key lodges in the North Island, and Hooker Lodge is probably the best known of them all because just about everybody who talks about the North Island of New Zealand mentions it.
Well, Hooker Lodge is probably the signature lodge, and it's in a way it's good in that the other lodges tend to hang off it, its reputation. It's definitely at the pointy end, and it has the reputation. I have to say, I only stayed there one night, and I did stay in their, what they call the owner's cottage, which is where they shove the queen when she's got, you know, when she's over here for a bit of a visit. And I found it a little bit intimidating. You know, it's so luxurious that the people are great. You know, they're not all over you, but you don't want to touch anything. You know, so you look at the decorations and the antiques that are in the room, and
because at these upmarket resorts, they almost give you a personal maid and personal butler.
Oh yes, it's all there for you if you want it. So it was a great indulgence, and I was a bit of a pretender, Tony. I don't live that sort of lifestyle, so it was an investigation for me, from an interesting point of view. But I did stay at two or three other lodges that also. Have the same level of service, the same quality of food, I believe, and very similar stunning locations. What Hooker is, it has heavy reputation. It's mentioned in the Robb Report and the Condé Nast lists and all those ones, and it just gets accolades and accolades and accolades, and that's great. And it lifts the whole segment of the market, and everyone follows in behind. I stayed at Rotorua, is a terrific place. If you, as soon as you get over the aroma
the
in
sofa.
The air, the aroma the in
sulfur.
The air, and there's some wonderful places down there, particularly out on Quahog Point. I hope I've said that right. There's a beautiful lodge there, Quahog Point Lodge. We stayed there for one night, and that was fabulous. We had our own personal chef who used to do the most amazing things. In fact, his passion, Silvio, his name was, and he was able to sculpt with sugar.
Oh, yeah.
He used to make, like, Swarovski type of sculptures with sugar. He was just amazing. And also at the famous Point, Peppers on the Point, is another lodge we stayed at, and that was terrific. Just terrific, you know. You'll get up in the morning, you'll have a huge breakfast, you'll do whatever the heck you want during the day, going sightseeing, big lunch.
What sort of activities? Is it fishing? Is it adventure stuff?
Well, you know, Tony, it's whatever you want. You know, if you just you're only limited by your imagination. You can go helicopter sightseeing, you can go power boating, you can go fishing, you can, I mean...
Skiing, I guess.
Well, if they can do it, they would do it.
I've got to say, it almost was skiing weather in December. When I was in the South Island, I remember walking home on Christmas Eve and there was snow on the top of the mountains. And I think if it had tried a bit harder, we could have been up there on the slopes.
Well, they're cock-a-hoop at the moment with their ski. They had the most incredible season last year. And I got a note from one of the operators over there just today saying that they've had snow already. So looks like they're on it again.
Yeah. Obviously, a lot of it is adventure stuff. The bungee jump. It's also the river rides on the speedboats. They're very entertaining.
That was certainly the South Island, particularly around Queenstown, is the centre of the mecca for adventure down there. Is that where you went, Tony?
I did. And I stayed on a golf course. A mate of mine's got a house there, and three or four bedrooms, and very comfortable. And it's all part of a hotel resort, which you know, you can either interact with the facilities or not. And it's brilliant golf course too.
Well, South Island, partly because it's so sparsely populated and driving is a breeze. I mean, it's a perfect location for self-driving, and you can just take yourself around to the various lodges, and there's just as many on the South Island taking advantage of that stupendous scenery.
The only disappointment for us was the fjords, because unfortunately the couple of days we'd circle for there, it was pretty ordinary, the weather. It really closed in, and it's not much fun when it's raining. But I have done it in a large ocean liner at one stage, and been through those major fjords, and it was just perfect.
And the cruise companies are starting to utilise that part of town as well, aren't they?
Absolutely. What is it about it that raises it above the Australian standard? I've got to say that, you know, that top-end market, the New Zealanders seem to be grabbing it.
Well, they do. I have to be fair, and I have to try and be balanced here, because there are several easily comparable properties in Australia, but it seems to be harder to find them, and they tend to be so exclusive that not that many Australians end up there. They tend to be...
And New Zealand does have a dollar advantage too. It's always a little bit cheaper than the Australian dollar.
They do. And when I was talking to some of the owners and operators over there, they are looking beyond that European and American market, which has been their mainstay for many years, because they've fed off, of course, those luxury magazines telling everyone to come down and see them. And they are looking beyond that market and to Australia, and indeed their own domestic market, believe it or not.
Yeah. The Japanese have become a little bit problematic at the moment, simply because it's the yen has certainly not travelled kindly with the Australian or New Zealand dollar.
If you box me in on that one, Tony, certainly the Japanese aren't coming in anywhere near the numbers to either Australia or New Zealand that they used to. It could be because they're finding that there are other areas and islands and destinations. They love that wedding market is huge for the Japanese. I saw a beautiful Japanese wedding when I was in Cairns the other day at Whitford House up there in Cairns, and they did a wonderful job there. So they are still coming, and they are still looking for that premium experience. But I guess they're not in the numbers that they used to, and maybe there's fewer and spending more money.
Mm. It's interesting that the resorts that we're talking about tonight, these top-end things like Hooker Lodge, are essentially small numbers of rooms,
very
small number
so.
Of cabins, but super luxury.
Yeah, very much so. I think Hooker's probably got one of the larger capacities there, and they might have about 10 or so dozen rooms. You know, looking at 30 or 40 guests in the property at any one time, and some of them are down, for example, Kawaha Point Lodge, you're probably looking at only barely a dozen people there at any one time. And it's that they're looking for, or they're trying to create and doing very successfully, that exclusive relaxation, total pampering, super indulgent product that just lets you feel like you're royalty for a period of time.
Just about every international hotel has developed the spa mechanism these days, and that's very much part of what people are looking for. If you're in one of those high-pressure jobs where, you know, you're working 50, 60 hours a week and you've got a couple of weeks' holiday, fast getaway and a lot of pampering, a lot of good food and a lot of personal attention, I think.
Well, you've hit on a very, very good point there. In fact, the spa segment of the accommodation hospitality market is one of the fastest growing sectors out there. I'd have to say it's driven by the ladies, I think, more so, Tony, than the chaps.
I disagree. I think men are probably just as heavily into it.
Well, I've partaken in a few of the spa treatments myself, and I see a lot of attraction in it myself.
Yeah, so I'm heavily into reflexology. I really, really love that with a passion.
Well, once you've done the mud treatment in Rotorua, you know you've done a mud treatment. It stays with you for a while, and it's very, very refreshing and very soothing. So, yes, you've got the various massages, you've got the various treatments, the oils, the salves, the lotions, the Ayurvedic, if I said that correctly, the Himalayan methods that they use up there. It's definitely a very, very fast-growing market, the spa treatments.
And the adventure side of the equation is also important. We've mentioned it briefly, but it's fishing, it's hunting, and it's a lot of outdoor activity.
Yeah, well, New Zealand, again, keep coming back to New Zealand, is perfectly set up for all that stuff, and it's not a huge country, so you can almost be skiing in the afternoon and fishing in the evening and then stay overnight and then decide to go boating on one of the fjords in the morning.
If you're planning a couple of weeks' holiday, possible to get a network of these locations that offer, you know, superior accommodation and just slightly different experiences as you move around?
Well, absolutely. You can take the Alpine lodges, some of the solitaire lodges on a beautiful lake. You've got a wonderful organic food experience at, I've got to practice this one, Mangatoltry Lodge near Cambridge on the North Island. They do a superb job there. You've got Kauri Cliffs if you like golf. That's up on the top of the North Island. Fabulous place. Huge big golf course there. And, of course, Hooker Lodge, which you can virtually fish for trout off the if your doorstep there.
Mm. Very different experience, New Zealand in the 21st century. Terrific wine, great food, and very good high-end properties available. Rodney, thanks for that, and we'll speak soon.
Thanks very much, Tony.
Rod Imey. If you want to read a little more of his work, his blog is at www.travography.com. And Rod's a freelance writer and photographer.